The new Confederation of Indian Industry President Sanjeev Bajaj takes over at a time when there are considerable issues afflicting our economy and a billion plus nationals, even as India tries to get back on the fast growth track trajectory. While the growth numbers in the post-COVID context are encouraging, we find ourselves affected by record inflation rates, food insecurity, foreign investors selling Indian stocks, among other challenges. That's a lot of work to be dealing with, a lot of issues. Joining us now, Mr. Sanjeev Bajaj, the Chairman and Managing Director of Bajaj FinServe, a company which serves millions of customers in India through a host of financial services. Congratulations, Mr. Bajaj, on this very important post one of our foremost industry leaders. My first question, should the government cut taxes on petrol and fuel?
As CII, we believe that that would be a timely thing to do right now, as we know that to the common man, the two major burdens from inflation are high fuel prices and high food prices. We are hoping for a normal monsoon. That's what the early forecasts say, and that should help reduce the impact of food prices. In the last few years, as oil prices fell, taxes were taken up. And I hope that in a collaborative manner between the central and the state governments, they can cut taxes on fuel so that they reduce the burden on the common man. It's also important because in the last few quarters, we are seeing the restart of domestic consumption. We are seeing new private investment coming up in multiple sectors, not just in commodities that we were seeing, but we've seen it in chemicals. We're seeing it in real estate and housing. We are seeing it in construction. And we need these tailwinds to continue. So inflation is controlled partly by government action, partly by RBI's action. Hopefully then that provides us with a continued runway for reasonably good growth.
So Mr. Bajaj, another key issue that's come up of late, the entire issue of wheat exports. Does the government's flip-flop on wheat exports send out a poor international signal because there were so many international expectations?
I believe that we live in a very uncertain world. We know that this is driven mainly by this heat wave, which has affected us. Nobody could anticipate it. And that's why the government is playing both a role internationally. It also has to secure the internal requirements of its citizens, and that's what it's trying to do.
Right. But in this present scenario, there was no option. Was there no option but to ban the wheat export, other than, of course, to those who we'd already cleared for wheat exports? No other option, sir?
Yes, I believe that they will continue orders prior to a particular period of time. Plus, I believe that the government has said that on a government-to-government basis, wherever there is clear requirement, the government will support those countries. And beyond that, these are volatile times. I don't think we can blame the government for that. The government could have chosen not to allow exports at all and would not have this discussion. So we need to give them some space as well for these kind of sudden changes that we are seeing driven by externalities.
So, when we're talking about inflation, the RBI, of course, moved in proactively. They increased interest rates. But I think a lot of people would want to know that since inflation was progressively rising, do you share the opinion that perhaps the RBI could have been involved earlier on in righting the inflation situation?
That's a difficult question. It's a no-win kind of question. RBI, if it wasn't for war, would have started, I believe, the interest rate reversal cycle a few months ago. Mm-hmm. Given the uncertainties of war, I believe that they continued with their accommodative stance that they referred to even in the last-to-last meeting. The suddenness of this increase has caught, I must say, all of us by surprise. And I would hope that one swallow doesn't the summer make, but rather RBI gets back in its next review in June to presenting a more stable picture and a calibrated picture of how we would see future rate hikes.
Mr. Bajaj, we are very famous in our country for setting disinvestment targets and even more famously failing to achieve them. It's not just this government, many other governments in the past. But let's talk about now disinvestment of LIC. Did the government sell what many see as a really precious asset in a market which was at its worst?
I believe the larger intent of the government is what must be recognized. Not only with LIC, but with Air India prior to that. I believe Pawan Hans will go on sale right now. I'm very much hoping, and the government has stayed committed, in, at least in our discussions with them, that the privatization of the two public sector banks and one general insurance company will happen as well. It is the larger action from the government that we have to take note of.
Right.
In the short term, there could be naturally ups and downs because of such a volatile external scenario.
Mr. Bajaj, foreign investors selling Indian stocks, does this reflect a worry on the overall India growth expectations?
So, Vishnu, this is to me very clearly a reversal of the period of high liquidity.
Right.
Period of high liquidity, excess money ends up going into safe havens, goes into safe stocks. That readjustment is what has already started happening. I continue to believe that capital will chase good opportunities. And as long as we are building good, solid businesses for the future, whether we are a startup or an incumbent, we will get access to capital.
Yeah.
But it is also very clear in these times, we can't rely only on foreign capital to fund our growth. If we have
right.
become a large, strong economy, we have to build a strong domestic financial services industry too.
Mr. Bajaj, let's talk a little bit about the middle class who are really suffering in this in the present scenario with inflation, and even those who are from economically less privileged backgrounds. You know, banks have a 5% deposit rate or thereabouts. We have 8% inflation, and money seems to therefore be losing value even in banks. You know, isn't this the worry? The power of savings is diminished very, very fast.
So the this present small window that we have seen with effective negative interest rates is what will get adjusted with RBI taking rates up and hopefully as a result of that inflation coming down.
Right.
Eventually, as our economy expands, there will be additional savings in the pockets of the middle class. And we have to see how to channelize these savings into more productive assets rather than just keeping them in bank deposits, more productive financial assets. Because typically, by the time you're $2,000 per capita GDP, you've taken care of your large physical needs, home, house, children's education. So that is what we have to incentivize the common man for. And then to see that from those financial assets, how can we deploy them for long-term benefits for the country?
One final question. You know, we were talking about wheat exports, you know, obviously food security. You know, there's also the entire issue of power supply. And both of these are affected by extreme climate, you know, situations. The intense heat has affected wheat growth in India. Power supply has gone up sharply, again, because of the intense heat. Coal in short supply in some places. So the question is this. Is climate change now a serious economic threat to India that we really must start recognizing?
It absolutely is. And we can see this current heat wave. None of us have experienced anything like this in our lives. It is driving change faster than we know. And as Indian industry and as a country, we have to take cognizance of it, step up to ensure that we green ourselves faster. You will see, even internationally, you will see funds flowing only or more and more into those companies that build sustainable businesses. I also believe that we create a whole new set of sunrise industries that will move us towards net zero. So it is both a threat, a responsibility, but also very much an opportunity.
Well, Mr. Bajaj, let's hope that, you know, that optimism that you have in the Indian economy bears fruit in the long run. Certainly, there are green shoots over there, and India is spoken about very highly by many who believe that the pace of coming out of COVID is quite positive. But as we've discussed, there are several factors, many of them within the Indian economy itself, which really need to be looked at very closely. Out of time on Left, Right and Center from all of us over here. Goodbye.